The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Faster, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. Well, we're stretching our legs for the next few days with open lines for the rest of this week. So, whatever's on your mind, then by all means do get in touch. Call 66 13 68, text or WhatsApp on 166 177, email studio at manxradio.com. Got to apologise to everybody we couldn't get to yesterday. It was a really busy show with Tim O'Neill, the interim chief officer, and Claire Christian, Minister from the Department of Health and Social Care. So I'll get to some of those questions that we couldn't get to yesterday. Obviously, they're not here to answer them, but we'll put those anyway, including the one from Russell, who said, could you ask Claire Christian why I should be paying a health levy next year when it's taking me 6 weeks to get a doctor's appointment, a GP appointment? I can't get an NHS dentist, and we, my wife and I, have already had to pay privately so my wife could get an operation she needed because the waiting list was too long. Will this miraculously all fix itself once I start paying more? I doubt it, says Russell. Well, I hope we got to the somewhere into the nub of that question yesterday. And I must stress again, this has been happening for years. When there was no Manx Care, the DHSC used to set a budget and then would go back for more money from Tynwald. Now it just seems that Manx Care is having to handle that hot potato, overspends, and Claire Christian said yesterday, is it the wrong budget or are they spending too much? Well, nobody quite knows. So we'll see. Text, email, call, WhatsApp, that and anything else you want to talk about. Let's get to Howard with us now. Hi, Howard.
Andy Grande. One question I was hoping to be able to ask Claire or the other chap that was with Neil, is it? But unfortunately never got on the radio. But with the increase in cosmetic surgery and the increase of fat jabs where you can purchase them privately, there was a program on the television about it where people were going like Tupperware parties, going around the houses. They were selling the needles, etc., to people, but they were not injecting them that way because they are not trained. So this leads to the question, if someone has sold jabs here and they have a detrimental effect on their body, or they go for surgery, I don't know how many there are here on the island, private surgeries, etc., but definitely it's a lot in the UK and even more in Europe. So if something should go drastically wrong, and these people have bought these items and privately financed them, if something goes wrong, will Manx Care, the hospital here, have to prioritise these people for treatment to rectify the faults that they've brought upon themselves?
Yeah, I heard about that situation where, as you say, there were these... what are they? They're actually, I think they're diabetic jabs, aren't they? Wegovy or Manjaro or what have you. They inhibit people's appetite. But as you say, so, and of course we had that situation, what was it, last week, where somebody found a needle on Port Erin Beach.
Yeah, and another one the next day.
Yeah. So, yeah. This kind of DIY stuff, particularly with hypodermic needles, I'm guessing, I don't want to speak on behalf of the minister, but I'm guessing they would have to pick up. I mean, however anybody gets an injury, they're there to serve and they're there to help them.
Yeah, but if these people going to these various countries, etc., they must have some, or you'd think they would have some form of insurance.
Right.
And they're going for a specific operation. That insurance should.
Right.
And it should, that's a magic word, cover any problems later on in life when they come back home again.
Of course, and there's much tales about people going to places like Turkey and Poland for brand new, a full set of new teeth or what have you, for liposuction or getting the lips pumped up or what have you, or cosmetic stuff. Now, whether or not insurance would cover that, I don't know. If anybody's in the insurance trade and can tell us, it will be nice to know.
Yeah, simply because if these people, they are vanity, operations they're having, Botox, as you say, Brazilian bone lifts and all this, that and the other, where they're pumping stuff from one part of your body into another. Well, we weren't designed for that, but the Manx Care or the Manx taxpayer should not have to pick the tab up for their vanity. They should be insured or have private, go back to the people who, and half of these ones is doing these jobs, they're not trained properly, they're not certificated, and there's so many of them as cowboys, as we refer to them, and cowgirls doing these jobs in the UK, and then do they come back home to the Isle of Man and have inherent problems, and who pays for it?
Well, I got a note in from this texter, 378, says, would they have to treat them? Yes. Would they prioritise them? No. This correspondent says, it's exactly the same as booze and fags, smoking and alcohol. People will do what people will do, and the NHS will have to pick up, you know, free at the point of delivery. So he reckons it's the same as cigarettes and alcohol.
Well, I think it goes a bit deeper than that, because you're actually physically harming your body when you're doing these things. But how many times our own government say, if you're going across to the UK, get insurance.
Of course.
You will get reciprocal healthcare at the point where you need it. But continuous health care, you have to pay for it. And that works both ways. Anybody coming to the Isle of Man, and our own government is saying this, pre-TT week and everywhere like that, and it's a wonder I haven't heard it on the radio this week because of the Grand Prix starting, but they don't insist on it, but they would prefer it, that you have healthcare insurance going away, even to the UK, because you will not get continuous healthcare there. And you will get treated at the point of need, same as you will here, but you won't get continuous.
Yeah, somebody's also mentioned there's a little bit of a parallel. Do you remember 10, 15 years ago, the kind of fad for gastric bands came in? Where people would lose stones and stones and stones. Mm-hmm. And the Isle of Man, I mean, people who lost stones and stones in weight often had, pardon me, because it's lunchtime, big flaps of skin they couldn't do anything with. And the NHS didn't pick that up. People had to cope with those themselves or have private cosmetic surgery on them.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Well, these people who have these Brazilian bum lifts and boob jobs and everything else like that, will they have to have private treatment afterwards if something goes wrong? Or will the hospital here on the Isle of Man, which is very much restricted in what it can do, but they would then have to ship the people off the island at additional cost to a suitable hospital. So this is something that it wants to be made very clear to anybody going off island that the treatment, well, will have to be paid for, or it will be done at the taxpayer's expense.
Yeah. Okay, Howard, interesting conundrum. Thanks for raising that.
Just as a train of thought, a little bit of good news last night about the Portishead Meadow trees.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I'll not say it on air. I'll send you a text up and let you know what's happening.
Excellent. All right. Thanks, Howard. Good to hear from you.
Okay, take care.
Cheers now. Bye. 313 Gaz says, look, Andy, an audit of the cost of medical services and dispensing is worthwhile, but don't forget to look at the support services, food supply, domestic goods, stationery and things like that. A top-to-bottom audit of the cost of medical services, he thinks, should be happening. And, Julian's with us now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Just to add to what Howard was saying, mentioning things like Ozempic and Mounjaro that you said, they're changing the balance of the gut bacteria. Yeah. They're also changing the nutrient flow rates and the pH value. But guess what? There's no randomized control trials, only on rodents. Right. So it's basically an ongoing experiment.
Well, they found them by accident, didn't they? Because they were used on diabetic patients and they lost weight.
Mm. Yeah, you know, we're always told we should have randomized control trials on all these things, but they never seem to do it. But anyway, just following up from yesterday's program, Health Minister Claire Christian's statement that a proposed payment from non-common travel area immigrants for accessing the Manx healthcare system would be just over £1,000 per year for 5 years for an adult, despite Manx citizens paying £4,500 each, which is about £3,500 less for the immigrant. I've noticed wandering around quite a few new people around the island with new babies, very new babies. I just noticed that the average cost to the UK NHS for a normal pregnancy is £5,000. So that's five times the immigrant contribution. Complications taking that figure over £15,000. So an immigrant paying around £1,000 a year is an absolute bargain, in my opinion, and I would have thought it is highly unlikely to dissuade them from coming. I also noticed on the BBC News this morning that 50,000 immigrants have crossed the English Channel since July last year. The smugglers charging varies between £5,000 to a premium package up to £15,000. But it makes you wonder why they just don't board a budget airline for £30, doesn't it, Andy?
Well, obviously something's going wrong somewhere. And I mean, I've looked very carefully. I can't find anybody who's been prosecuted for doing that across there. It seems weird that with all the investigative journalists they've got and the police and what have you, they've not pinched anybody. You would think they'd kind of, you know, fine and prosecute the people who are actually doing this. Surely they know who they are.
You think so, wouldn't you? Especially on the French side. Anyway. And of course, once they're in the UK and they're let out, you know, to go wherever, I wouldn't have thought there's much stopping them from boarding a steam packet vessel without ID if they've only got hand luggage.
Well, this is the important thing, you see. So that anybody trying to get here has got to know somebody. They must know somebody, Julian. Nobody would take a flyer and just come to the Isle of Man because they've watched, you know, TT Closer to the Edge. They would have to know somebody, and that person would be, you know, particular, would know the rules of what the Isle of Man is. You know, that and let's face it, we do need immigrants. We've always needed immigrants. We've always needed, because people leave the Isle of Man. And while ever, you know, last year, the mortality rate outstripped the birth rate. You know, people do leave the Isle of Man. So to replenish the population, if you like, and to keep the economy moving, we have to have new people coming here.
Yeah, that's right. And I remember, I think I heard on the news that they'd noticed about the AI video that Diane had seen. She rang in, didn't she, a little while ago, mentioned it to you.
Yeah.
But there's probably no need for an AI video because they can theoretically board in safety on the new Manxman anyway, or the Mananan.
Yeah.
The health minister also mentioned drug price increases. I assume the drugs are transported here by the steam packet, so I wonder if the extremely high freight charges, which are under the direct control of the government, are partly responsible for the high drug prices.
Well, I mean, the high freight charges are the business of the steam packet company. I mean, the fact that the Treasury happens to be the main shareholder, Mr. Thompson, they'll be running the steam packet as they see fit, because remember, the steam packet is tasked with paying money to the Treasury. So Mr. Thompson is there to make as much money as possible. You know, again, I don't want to speak for him, but he's not running a social service. He's running a ferry company.
Mm. But the knock-on effect on the drug price may be influenced if we're paying five times as much for the freight as the going rate. I also noticed at the same time as the Treasury Minister seeks to impose this new 2% health levy, well, starting at 2%, should I say, due to lack of funds, we're simultaneously being told to pay for a new wind farm, which is likely to be at least 100 million if you see how past history's gone, with the taxpayer taking all the risks with this new business model, effectively putting us in Ørsted's place, which is is interesting considering the news yesterday that Ørsted share price has plunged a further 30%, and just this morning went down another 5%, a figure of 206.4 Danish kroners. That is 17% below the lowest they ever had as a price 9 years ago when they became Ørsted, and is now approaching 90% loss since their high in 2021 of 1400. So 1400 is now 206. So while the poster child for the wind energy implodes, we're going to try and copy Ørsted, who are the world's largest wind farm operator and have now taken a begging bowl to the Danish government, which has also caused huge backlash in Denmark, where their economy is getting more crippled day by day, Andy.
Well, a lot of this is to do with the fact, a lot of this is to do with the fact that the American president has basically declared war, really, on renewable energy projects. He's just said he's not having anything of them, is he?
Well, so why is it they pulled out of Hornsea 4 off East Anglia? They've also pulled their horns in from a Norwegian one as well. So nothing to do with America. I'll tell you what, though, based on what Diane was saying earlier, if I ever see a video showing Tynwald reversing the 20-mile-an-hour rollout, stopping the wind farm and setting new policies to increase our food security, this will make me go and check and see if that's an AI video, I tell you, Andy.
All right. Thanks, Julian. Good to hear from you. Thanks.
Thanks, Andy.
22 Cheers. Minutes past 12. Sharon, a note in from yesterday. Sharon, we didn't get this till 12:45 yesterday afternoon. Sharon said, Andy, I've tried to call, but it's a busy programme. I've a question for the panel today. How much have they spent on postage for appointments for patients? The reason being, I've received two appointments, one after the other, while I was on holiday. And because I missed the appointment, I've now been discharged back to my local GP to start the procedure all over again. Had I been emailed or texted or WhatsApped, this situation just wouldn't have happened. Surely the system is prehistoric, and we should have the option to opt in or opt out of e-communication instead of postal communication, as I do appreciate not everybody is connected to the internet and e-communication. Could you help on this? Says Sharon. Well, again, we get lots of anecdotal evidence and stories about people who miss appointments or who get an appointment months and months ahead, wait patiently for it, and then 3 or 4 days before get a letter saying it's another 3 months. It's postal at the moment, so surely there possibly is some plan to use emails in the future. I know lots of people don't like emails. However, we're spending money on postage. Is there another way of doing it? Back to the lines we go. And Gordon's with us now. Hi, Gordon.
Hi, Andy. Julian's just stolen my thunder because I was ringing about Ørsted.
Right.
It's in today's Daily Mail that they've discovered a $7 billion black hole in their finances, which is what's led to this big share price fall.
So where do you think this leaves us?
Well, according to the front page of today's Examiner, Ørsted's wind farm will bring $2 billion to the Manx economy over the 35-year life of the wind farm.
Right.
In taxation, seabed rentals, etc. So I just don't know.
Do you think, I mean, everything's a gamble in life. Do you think this is a gamble worth taking?
I'm not convinced by that, no. I'm a bit on the Donald Trump side and his war on renewables.
Right. I mean, and the Ørsted wind farm for us is going to be off the East Coast, this big, enormous thing, 1,000 feet turbines and what have you. So there's that, and then the possibility of the land-based one at Ørsted,
right,
which we're going to run ourselves.
Yes.
If there's going to be a risk taken, do you think it's ours to take or somebody else's?
I think it's somebody else's.
We'll see. All right, Gordon.
Yeah, then I also wanted to, the other point I wanted to make in today's Examiner, there's also a little bit about Noel Edmonds.
All right.
Rumoured to have bought a house on the Isle of Man.
Well, he said so. He said so live on Manx Radio. We did the outside broadcast from the Royal Show. And
well, that just shows you how what a poor job Alaman newspapers are doing. If you ask anybody in Ramsey or up this corner of the island, we've known for a year that he bought Norman Wisdom's first house on the island opposite Bride Church. And I mean, they used to publish in the newspaper all the property deals. You know, that would have shown who's buying what, who's selling what.
Oh, those were the days, weren't they, Gordon? Everything was in. Used to be in, didn't it? The births, the deaths.
That's right.
The sales.
Well, newspapers were newspapers. They charge you £2.20 for this piece of paper, and there's nothing in it.
I often wonder why they stopped doing that. I mean, I think before that, do you remember they used to do the coroner's news and also divorces, for that matter?
And wills as well.
So yeah, I wonder whether that's because of GDP or data protection or what have you, but still available.
Yeah.
All right, good to hear from you.
Okay.
Thanks, Gordon.
Cheers.
Thanks for calling in today. And hello to Noel Edmonds, who I'm assuming is going to be listening today. It's 27 minutes past 12 on Man in Line on Manx Radio. Oh, some messages from the answer phone.
Andy, this is Tony B. Just a quick one. I think you just said that they went out to and awarded a tender to BT, and I can't remember what year it was you said, but surely then that tender is expiring soon, isn't it? And who are we going to hand it over to? Are we going to go out for a retender and see if we get a better deal out of somebody else? Or are we going to stick with our preferred supplier, I'd guess, who is the one who we've given £10 million to, and we end up with not owning anything? So my question is, how are we going to protect our infrastructure, and what's the plan? Or is it, as usual, we're doing it for you and don't you worry about it? Good luck. Thanks, bye.
Thank you, Tony. It was 1985 that the government announced it would award a 20-year licence to operate the telephone system on a tender process. British Telecom created a Manx-registered subsidiary, called it Manx Telecom, to bid for the tender. And they beat Cable and Wireless and won the licence. They won the tender, started under the new identity from 1987. So as to whether or not that's kind of just subsumed, or we're trying to find out really what happened to that tender process, and subsequently, if it got it in 1985 and started in 1987, what happened in 2007? Obviously, Manx Telecom isn't owned on the Isle of Man anymore. When British Telecom split, it became part of O2, who then sold it to Telefonica, who then sold it to HG Capital, who then floated on the AIM market. And now the Basalt Investment Partners own Manx Telecom. And while we're at it, I got a note in from, thank you, Gillian. That was it, Gillian, who said to me, when are we going to get 5G on the Isle of Man? We've supposedly got 4G, but mine often defaults to 3G. Surely other places around the world have got 5G. What about us? Oh, and another message.
Oh, hi, Andy. I'm a bit upset that you just skipped the cost of the steam packet company, which I think is absolutely extortionate at the moment, and something seriously needs to be done, if only for Manx residents. Can you please ask Michelle that? Thank you.
That was after we spoke to Michelle Hayward last week about the steam packet company. Well, I'll just reiterate what I said. Steam Packet Company is an arm's length company, and it's operated as a ferry company. So I don't know about the machinations. Obviously, Treasury is the main shareholder, and giving breaks to people, and it's often been mentioned about why don't we, you know, each resident of the Isle of Man get a couple of free tickets to use every year, or get some discount, or get a smart card where we can get they can harvest the data and we can get some discounts. Where would that come from? I don't think it would come from the steam packet. Whether or not it comes from the government, Department of Enterprise, whether it's Visit Isle of Man, Locate Isle of Man, who would do that? So what do you think? A note in just said the Manx Care has actually got an opt-in service for SMS messages, so you can do that. Mark said, Andy, it's clear to me that without government subsidy, wind farms are an absolute non-starter. Thank you, Mark. Well, you're wrong. You know, you're only wrong about the government subsidy. It's not a government subsidy. It's a taxpayer subsidy. Now, we're bothered in Ramsey about the state of the Ramsey Swing Bridge being pedestrian only. I've been concerned and I'm fed up for the lack of interest and negativity from Ramsey commissioners concerning the public beach in front of the lifeboat station, says John. It's still strewn with seaweed and rubbish. They should clean it up, says this Ramsey resident.
Ethel Garage in Ballasalla doesn't just service and repair any make or model of car. They also operate a recovery vehicle to rescue you and your vehicle from anywhere on the island.
See? Aren't you glad we went to Ethel?
For top quality work from Nissan factory trained technicians, dedicated aftercare, and now recovery too. Ethel, a garage to swear by, not swear at. Book now at Athol.im or call the A-team whenever you need them. 820082.
It's a tough time for businesses. Not sure what to do to turn things around? Let Nicola Bowker & Co. guide you through. We've helped hundreds of businesses to success. Accountants and tax advisors to businesses on the Isle of Man.
Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
Isle of Play helps children reclaim their childhood. We run play sessions, forest schools, and are the island's only adventure playground, helping children island-wide to have the best childhood possible. Do you want to help us raise funds and reach more children across the Isle of Man? Visit isleofplay.im or message Isle of Play on Facebook. Let's make childhood playful and play-filled for every child.
This advert is brought to you by Kell Properties.
Parados Theatre Company present In Their Blood, where twisted fate collides dreams with betrayal. An original play by local actor Ori Wilson, In Their Blood tells the story of a Manx mining family in the 1800s, where dreams, love, ambition and betrayal is set across the harsh realities of the island's mining community. In Their Blood at the King's Court Theatre Castletown, 14th to the 16th of August. To book, go to ticketsource.co.uk/King Williams College. In Their Blood, supported by Blackford & Co. Insurance Brokers and your nation station, Manx Radio.
The latest edition of Manx Radio's Breath Mindfulness podcast with Karen Hardman is available now.
Release the need to do everything well. You were great today. You did enough.
Brought to you by the Good Health Store on Station Road in Port Erin.
Let's relax further and imagine a long stroll on a sandy, starlit beach.
Peaceful slumber and relaxation.
It's a balmy August night and you are walking barefoot along the water's edge.
The latest in the Breath Mindfulness series with Karen Hardman and available now at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Robert's with us now. Hi, Robert.
Hi, I was just thinking about your green issues kind of conundrum that you got going around. I just maybe muse a few points without, you know, offending too many people.
Okay.
I was thinking, just for debate-wise, you've got the various age groups of the 20s, you know, the tweenies and all of that that go with it. They're a bit into protests and all the rest of it. I think that they like, you know, greenish. They like walking around the forests and the nature, and they like walks and things like that. I think that a lot of people who phone in on the Man in Line are mostly, well, they may not be, but a lot of them from towns, and they're looking at problems they've got with their Xbox or whatever it is that they've got, their Amazon Fire Stick. And they just think of it in terms of, well, is it a technology issue and how can we use technology? And it's just an age group above. What I'm trying to say is there's different age groups battling against each other. Do you get what I'm saying?
And what's your
opinion?
When
you're in your 20s.
What's your opinion?
Well, I just see it in the round. And I just see that, you know, when you get to after your 20s, and you get into your 30s and 40s, you're looking for technology to take on the arduous tasks, and you're looking for things to come into play that are going to make it easier for you. Well, you can buy whatever you want off Amazon today to make technology easier and get all sources. But I mean, I just think that a lot of people want to sit back and just enjoy the technology, and nature doesn't generally subscribe to that belief. Do you know what I mean?
All right.
Because there's not a lot of technology in there. So I think that you've got... Sorry, the car coming. I think you've got two distinct trains of thought there that are kind of battling against each other, and generally the people who come on to Man in Line are the people who are like, well, I've got an iPhone, so I might as well say my bits. But I mean, you know, it's not easy for the people who want to make a go of the green issues and stuff like that, to the net zero debate and what have you.
What do you think about the, you know, the about the wind farms?
Well, I say what I reckon and say what I want to think. I would just want to put out a point that I think it's two groups arguing against each other. I don't really want to have an opinion. I just want to put out the thesis that I think it's two groups arguing against each other. And I don't want to wreck it, Andy. I think I've just said my bit.
Okay, good to hear from you. Thank you, Robert. Here's a note in from, let me see, Howard, who just said, I had my Manx Telecom share sold without my knowledge and compulsorily by whoever the company is that now owns it. Is that true? I understand there would have been a motion to allow this to happen at a shareholders' meeting, but I still feel it's a bit off. Incidentally, there was an Isle of Man court hearing to ratify the decision, and a precedent had already been set by a Manx court to do this for another company, mainly in the name of transparency and good for Isle of Man business strategy. Is this true? Manx Telecom have come a long way from being the trusty old GPO from my day. Now it's 100% in private ownership, and I think it's surreptitiously in private ownership. Well, there's one thing for certain, Howard. There's been a lot of public money put into the spread of fibre on the Isle of Man. And Manx Telecom, I mean, it says Manx Telecom on the thing, but it's really... The only thing that's Manx about it is the fact that it serves the Isle of Man. It's a bit like Isle of Man Bank, based in Jersey now, really, with what, three branches on the entire Isle of Man. Four. Regent Street, Athol Street, Parliament Street and Port Erin. And that's your lot. Thank you also to, it was Jake, who said, MGP's on the... I've heard nothing about MGP. Well, AM 1360, it will be playing out, the best biking station in the world. Commentary team's going to be Chris Boyd, Chris Kinley, Dave Christian will be at Glen Helen, Rob Pritchard will be at Ramsey Hairpin, Beth Espy and Carolyn Sells will be around, and I think Lee Johnston and Tim Burchill will be with us for the Classic TT. So AM 1368 from this Sunday for the best biking station in the world, for the MGP, and also for the Classic. And it's Betty now. Hi, Betty.
Hi. I just want to say that I'm really fed up with not getting the Sunday paper on Sunday. It comes in so late, and I'm not driving, and I can't ask anybody to get it for me so late. And
Do you normally fetch it from the newsagent or get it delivered?
I normally get it from the newsagent.
Right.
Well, from Tesco's, actually.
Right. And it just depends. I mean, because the thing is, if the boat comes in late, it can take forever, can't it?
Well, it's been happening so often lately. And I think it's probably going to go on for the whole of the summer because of the boats going to Belfast.
Right. Well, this is also because the, I think it's, is it the Newspapers Publishers Association, the people who used to help pay to fly our newspapers here? So, I mean, the newspapers themselves contributed to this, the fact that they're not flown here anymore, that they come on the boat. So they're kind of cutting their own throats, really.
Well, I just feel I really like getting the newspaper. I just get it at the weekend, Saturday, Sunday.
Right.
And I really like getting it. And then sometimes you can get it on Monday, but sometimes they have none left.
It's not the same, though, is it, getting a Sunday paper on a Monday?
No, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah. Okay, all right, Betty. All right, well...
But I hope they're listening and do something about it.
Well, I mean, the thing is, the wholesalers, GE Whites, their hands are tied, really, because they get the papers when they turn up, and it just depends who... I mean, obviously, it's got to be paid for to be flown here, and when the cost of flying it here, obviously, was a bit too much for whoever was paying it, and now they come on the boat, sadly. But I agree with you. The fact is, it's a little bit of civilization. organisation that's been chipped away, not getting a Sunday paper on time.
Yes, and I think it's down to the steam packet again in this case. They should have a boat available to take it to the Isle of Man.
Okay, all right.
Thank you, Andy.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for calling in today. We appreciate it. On the subject of Manx Care spending, this is Texter 638 who just said, I noticed a number of divisional directors' posts paid well over £100,000 each, which is very worrying. Why is this being done when Manx Care is struggling with funding? From Mal. Thank you, Mal. They would probably say, and again, I'm speaking on their behalf, they would probably say, that's the going rate. That's what they would always say. That's the going rate. We seem to have this kind of management matrix put on us. Heaven knows where it came from, presumably from the UK. But that's what it is. And that's why when a job is advertised, it will be sort of paralleled with something perhaps in the UK or in England or in Scotland. And we end up paying the same, despite the fact we're a tiny jurisdiction compared to everybody else. Oh, Bonzo's with us now. Hi, Bonzo.
Hello, yes, just listening to Julian, who I knew would be phoning in after seeing some of the headlines first thing this morning, you know, to gleefully try and dance on Alstead's grave. But as you so rightly point out, Alstead's issues at the moment are from the fact that they have been absolutely stuffed by Donald Trump. And you know, they've had to put up a lot of money up front for those EOS projects, and now they've been canned, or at least they're not going to happen until the Democrat administration comes back in. So they obviously are going to be very, very short of cash, they'll probably get it or some of it back, but that will take an awful lot of lawyering, and it will take at least 5 or 10 years probably for them to get the, you know, a proportion of the money back out of breaches of contract.
But I mean, they knew that, Bond. He said that before he was elected.
Well, the problem was he was elected, and you know, so therefore those problems came to be rather than if, as I think we may actually find out. In the fullness of time, there were issues with the election, but that's by the by. The thing is that Alstead, of course, are now, you know, a bit strapped for cash, so they're having to do things like pull in on projects like Hornsey because it's just a question of cash flow.
Right. Where does this leave us, though?
It's not anything to do with the actual health of the business as such. That's an external factor. But when it comes to, you know, this particular project, which is, even though we term it a separate thing, Kevai, I always keep getting the names confused. What's the offshore wind one in Manx?
I'm trying to think now. Can't you got
remember.
Me. I know you got me.
Yeah, because Kevo is the actual onshore one.
Yeah, is it?
That's the MUA one.
Oh, somebody's going to tell me. Is it Mona or something? I can't, off the top of my head, I can't remember.
Yes, it's something beginning with N. Anyway, so that project, which is essentially a bolt-on to the Walney wind farm complex, which you see from Macon and Maxim. Now, all the reasons for that are the same as they ever were, it's a question of actually getting UK to admit it for contracts for difference in order for them to actually sell the electricity into the grid. But as for, you know, should we or should we not have it, well, as I said before on these things, there's a wind farm project, you know, to the southeast, of course, those Crown Estates ones. There'll be one to the southwest, which is the Dublin Bay area one, and other projects. And the view is going to be spoilt anyway But that view being sport and ferry routes being altered, etc., well, you know, we won't be getting a penny out of that unless, you know, we all sit far within our waters where we actually get some money for it. But when it comes to the onshore wind farm and how the costs are represented for that, we get to a larger problem, which explains some of the things with the health service and the prom, in that people, the Tynwald, simply won't vote for anything like the realistic submission of a project's cost. You look at the Liverpool Ferry Terminal, its initial assessment was, what, 15 million? Now, 15 million to redevelop what was a disused dock, which hadn't been used for what, since the war? Or since the 1950s? Which was obviously going to need a lot of fettling. It wasn't just a question of, oh, we'll build a terminal shed. Now, all the real works had to go onto the actual port structure itself, you know, onto the walls and things to stop scouring and that sort of stuff. So that's the thing that's really, really hoisted the bill.
So why do you think that the politicians are so averse to giving people the bad news about how much something will truly cost?
I'm not quite sure whether it's a certain amount of a sort of parsimonious world view. Because when you hear other things discussed in Tynwald, you know, people worrying about £50,000 for something, well, yes, you know, taxpayers' money. But £50,000 in the scheme of a 1.3, 1.4 billion budget, it's going to cost you more money to actually worry about the £50,000 and debate it in Tynwald than it's going to save if you do anything right about it. So that's just silly. And you end up paying more in the long run. So you end up with a situation like the prom, where, you know, you could tell that the prom was going to cost 20 million plus. I mean, it hadn't been surveyed for years. God knows what was underneath. Of course you were going to know that. Yeah. So that was going to add into the cost. But, oh, no, we can't. Well, no, that's far too expensive. So departments know that when they submit these projects, they submit the amount of money that Tynwald will vote for.
Right.
In the first instance. And then, once the project has gone along for a bit, you know, you have sunk cost, etc., and then Tynwald are approached again. Well, you know, we've got to finish it, so give us some more money. But also with the health budget, health itself has its own rate of inflation, which is rather higher than the general rate, and I think it's about 8% now. And when you think about that as an 8% cumulative, yes, we're going to be in an eternal situation of having to ask for, you know, 10% more as a supplementary vote, because we won't vote the actual amount of money that it costs to begin with. Because, oh, no, that's far too much. Whereas when you do it in the supplementary vote fashion, you know, you're just ending up spending more money. So it's some basic ideas about how to do public finance, which government doesn't really seem to have much of a clue about.
Okay. All right, Bonzo, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling today.
Okay. Cheers. Bye.
11 minutes to one, and let's get to, I think we've got Wilf with us in just a few moments' time.
Hello, this is Doug Farragher. In conjunction with Manx Radio, I'd like to invite you to join us and learn something about our native Gaelic tongue, the language of man.
Hi, Wilf.
Hiya. The South Beach.
Yeah.
Complaints about the South Beach, right. Well, we'll eliminate that. Now, about a month ago, not known to me or any other commissioner, the higher up in the town hall spent £800 to get 20 ton taken away. Now, about 2-3 years ago, I had 1,000 ton taken away for free because he wanted the gravel.
Right.
Now then, I've been in touch with the same people again. They will do it again for free, I put that to the rest of commissioners, and they had no alternative but to agree to it. So that will happen when I tell them to do it.
When will
and
that
I
be,
won't
Will?
Be telling them, well, I won't be telling them to do it till February, because I told them I don't want it done early on now, because it'll build up again, the grass will grow on it again before the spring or in the spring, and then next thing will be a bird nest on it and the beach will be fenced off. So I told them to do it late on, scraped away, tide will come in over that. There'll be no bird's nesting on it.
And that's going to be February next year, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing. It's all right as it is at the moment, because there's no birds or anything going to nest on it. And what bit of beach we got when the tide is in, that's ours.
Okay.
But up till then, if a bird nests on it, we got no beach left, because death will come and fence it off. So, you know what I mean? It's anyway... I got the wind farm off in our bay, Ramsey Bay.
Yeah.
That they're talking about. That's out on the Bahama Bank. Now our bay is kind of is not quite a half circle, but the Bahama Bank goes the opposite way in a half circle, and it's near enough the point of air, and it's near enough Macclehead, if you like, and. So these things are going to come straight across here, straight across the bay, which will be horrible. But what I'm thinking of is the likes of Mezeron, because they'll go in either direction, straight across out of our harbour, straight out. Now, these things are going to come from Laxey right down to the point, and you're not allowed to go near them. So does that mean there's no escape for Mezeron? I don't know.
That's a very good point.
I don't know. These things have got to be thought about.
Mm.
Now, and just another small thing, which, I just thought it was a little bit harsh myself, but anyway. I was in the street yesterday, parked on a disabled park, because I've got the sticker and everything. And I just got out, and an old friend of mine come hobbling down the pavement, and he said, "Are you authorised to park there?" And I said, "Well, yeah. Look, there's the sticker." I had one of them," he said. "But," he said, "I've had two new hips put in not long ago," he said, "and they took it off me the ticket, because they said you're all right now, you're fit."
Right. Thank you, Wilf.
Okay.
Good to hear from you. It's 6 minutes to one.
Hi, Liz. I see you've had your garage converted.
We're desperate for more room.
Yes. Come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
We make oil heating easy with our range of services. Whether it's our free smart tank monitoring systems or just our efficient all-island deliveries, Ellen Vanin Fuels has it covered. Call us on 844-000 to find out more.
Fed up sifting through applications and hitting dead ends? We get it. It's not the high-flying life a boss should have. So step away from the desk, make a coffee, and let us take the reins. Orchard Recruitment adds a refreshing change to your hiring process. Getting to know your business and culture before finding you the right people. We won't send you any old CV. We'll cherry pick. Make your next onboarding fruitful. Visit orchardrecruitment.com.
Check out the Groudle Glen Railway summer timetable for some great days out. Visit the Clifftop Tea Rooms and Sales Emporium, book a special steam tea, and join our free family train spotting challenge. Hop on the line that goes uphill to the sea, the Groudle Glen Railway. For times, see ggr.org.uk or visit on Facebook.
The previous message was brought to you by QVH, the island's premier serviced offices and co-working space in the heart of Douglas. Call 639 940 for more information or visit qvhpremieroffice space.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Thank you, 582. We left our mobile number and signed a form. I think they do notify and do a reminder for an appointment, says Kath. So there is a way of doing that, apparently. Talking of Isle of Man Post, why don't you get Stu Peters on Man in Line? Isle of Man Post has become laughable. Every can deliver a parcel to the island quicker than a first-class letter. I'm still waiting on the post from the UK, a letter sent first-class on Friday, the 1st of August. What has happened to our post service? I'll drop Stu a line then, see if we can get the post office on and just see what's happening. Thank you, Dave. Message in also that just said regarding the... That's right. It's regarding the post... Manx Care. Yes, you can. You can opt into this service. There is a way of actually doing it. They've got an SMS appointment reminder service. You just have to opt in, says Pete. If you have done that, tell me about it. Is it easy? Is it easy to do? Regarding appointment reminders, got sent by text, got mine yesterday, but you have to opt in, says 121. That's the way of doing it. If you want a free show tonight, there's a free show in the East. A chance to see some meteors, the Perseids. The Perseids meteors, they peak on the 13th of August. That's tomorrow. One of two annual showers along with the Geminids. On a clear night, you can see up to 100 meteors in the space of an hour, and they'll be in the east. If you've got an eastern horizon you can look at, you can see them, although they'll be in the east, and I'm sure you'll be able to catch them. So, absolutely free of charge. That's it. The answer phone's on, 682-631, or email maninline@maxradio.com. And thanks to Ben on the phones today. Enjoy your Tuesday.
W-I-N-T.